from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Okay. 1 hour to go. Not even. Like 50 minutes. 888-808-1019. Let's run through these calls. I'll be done after this, but then I'm back on live from Fanatics Fest. And I was just looking at Gronk. I forgot Gronk was there too. And Gronk is like participating in the like athletic things you can do. Like you can go there, wear athletic shoes. Like that's what I didn't do. I didn't have shoes. Like my shoes were not tied today. I think tomorrow I'm going to lace up my shoes because I do want to shoot. Like I do want to throw. I do want to, you know, play a little bit, but I was telling my boy Joel, I'm like, nah, I don't want to do, like, today is just like, you know, walking around, getting a lay of the land. I don't want to do anything athletic and embarrass myself. Or I could do something athletic and make myself look really good. But you got to have a shoes tied. Got to have the shoes tied. So you can run the 40-yard dash. You can shoot the three-pointer. You can fire hockey pucks. You can take some swings in the batting cage. You can throw the football. All that is available for you at the Javits Center, Fanatics Fest. Well, we'll be hosting live. You can come through. You can meet Joe Beningo and Sal Licata. All right, let's take your calls. 888-808-1019. Chris is in Maho Pack on the Fan in New York.
Hey, Keith, how are you, man?
I'm good, man. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, yeah, I'll keep it quick. You had me so fired up a year ago, and I wanted to call in that night, and there was such a long line, you got off. But I play it like you, similar. I played 1AA. And I was a quarterback, too.
Where? And, where'd you play?
Hofstra.
Oh, man. Hofstra's where I got my first scholarship from. That's where I wanted to go.
Joe Gardy and Robbie Spence. Robbie's the offensive coordinator down at Georgetown, so I'm sure you dealt with those guys.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't remember the coaches' names, and I don't even remember the guy that came to my school and literally offered me when I was 16. It was, like, the greatest day of my life. But I came up there and I went to the camp and they had that hard AstroTurf field. And
I'll tell you something about that. I wore Nike Air Legends, if you ever remember those sneakers. Because they didn't even have turf shoes. We're like, you know, the little low-top Nikes and they had like waffles on the bottom. But yeah. I want to tell you a funny story. You ever see the movie All the Right Moves?
We were just talking about that movie. I just randomly one day did like, I think it was the night of the Hall of Fame game. I did the like football movie list, and we came up with like 50 football movies.
So listen, so I'll tell you. So I watched it about 100 times. So my redshirt freshman year, I blew out my ACL my freshman year. So we went in the first round of the playoffs. We wound up playing Montclair State. Their starting quarterback is Walter Briggs, the Rifleman. So well, I kept saying to my roommate, who was a wide receiver, I said, do you remember the line where the coach says to the whole team at Ampipe, they don't know about the magic in the rifleman's arm? And that's what I'm thinking as I'm standing on the sideline. And then a very sad story. I became friends with a couple of guys from Mattawan, and because my girlfriend went to Montclair State and her roommate went to Mattawan. He's the greatest football player I saw living or, you know, like live or on TV. Terry Underwood.
Terry Underwood from Mattawan?
Yeah.
What, I mean,
he's like,
I don't know the name.
The reason it's a sad story, I think he lives, if you know what I mean, in Rahway right now. He, let's just say someone else isn't alive, and he was such a nice guy. But he played against WestCon. He rushed for four. I think it's still the record in all levels of football.
400 yards?
He rushed for four something. I think it was 438.
That's stupid.
So I know you get fired up over that stuff.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I said, F it, I'm going to call him. Where did you play? James Madison?
So, yeah, I went to James Madison University. I took my scholarship there. I played two seasons there. I got to third string. I hated it. I just like was so far away from home. Everybody was from Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina.
The Southern drawl. Yeah, that's real Southern. Yeah. People don't realize that, you know?
Well, at 18, I wanted to get as far away from home as possible, and I literally took the furthest scholarship I had, 6.5 hours away. But then I was just such a fish out of water and a small fish in a big pond. And after a while, it just got old, and I got into a lot of things that weren't football related. Like, I was known.
That's cool.
I was known more for like football players would ask me, like, bro, how do you get us into the Kappa Alpha party? Like, how do you get us into the swim team party? I'm like, bro, I be with everybody, and I talked to everybody at the dining hall. I talked to everybody in different places. I don't just stick with the football team. Like, I'm dipping off.
Quarterbacks, if they're not jerks, I like that, because you can't not be a communicator of people.
I've always been a chameleon. I always have been able to just, like, fit in different places and, like, disarm people and make friends. And, you know, I think that was, you know, me coming from Ocean Township in Monmouth County, New Jersey, down to Harrisonburg, Virginia. It played well for me off the field. I remember getting awarded Rookie of the Year off the field for how many girls I bagged and how popular I was as far as, like, being able to get into parties. They don't want the football players coming into frat parties.
No, and what people don't understand, like, when you're 17 years old, I was a year younger than everybody in my class. I wasn't even 18 when I get to college, and I get there, and I weigh 165. I'm all psyched. I'm, like, jacked up. Lifted.
I
got there, and they have a team meeting, and I walked in and I said, "Holy F, what did I just do?"
Oh yeah, you just made me think of a great
story. Feeling of that.
I made a mistake. I stood up in front of the whole team. We all had to introduce ourselves. You know, kind of like you see Hard Knocks where they got to stand up and say they're like signing bonus. So we all you got to stand up in front of everybody. As a freshman, tell them where you're from, what your accolades were, whether you were all city, all county, all state,
how many scholarship numbers
you had, or how many numbers of scholarships you had. And, like, I did all that, and then I said something, and I'm like, I'm here to represent Dirty Jersey. And, like, that, that pissed
all
off.
All of a sudden, they're like, this guy's a jerk. No, you're not. You won't be here if you are.
That pissed off all these guys that play south of the Mason-Dixon line. And it's a different brand of football. I was so convinced that we played a better brand of football. And what they didn't tell me was that, you play quarterback, but we're not going to give you your red jersey, your immunity jersey right away. We're going to make you earn it for 2 weeks. I got my ass kicked for 2 weeks. I wanted to go home. I thought I broke my hand. I called my mom one night crying.
All there was payphones. I said, I'm coming home. They said, you can leave, but you ain't staying here.
Yeah, no, there was no coming home. Mickey Matthews said he put me on the next train out of there. I'm like, I'm not getting on the train out of there. It was crazy. And this was back when, like, football coaches could yell at you and, you know, mother F you.
There was times people would put hands on you. The guy who recruited me was a Green Beret.
Yeah, it was a different time. There were no cell phones that really recorded anything. And it was hot out there, and you're going through two-a-days, and I was alone. I was by myself. Like, my roommate was from South Jersey. He was a receiver, and, I mean, he was scared too. it was a crazy experience.
Yeah, you were saying Ocean. My family has a generational house down on the shore. It's called Normandy Beach between Point Pleasant and Seaside on 35.
Yep,
heading south. So I just thought there were so many coincidences as we just talked about all that stuff, man.
Yeah, of course.
Gets me fired up when I hear you talk about that.
Yeah, I'll continue it. Thanks for the call. Yeah, Hofstra was my first offer when I was 16. They were playing in the Atlantic 10. My mom is one of a kind. I remember coming home so happy and telling my mom, like, I got a scholarship offer. She didn't understand what it meant. Like, what it meant to me was that, like, I can go to college. Like, you told me when I was 12, you didn't have money for me to go to school. I 4 years later was good enough in high school football to get a university to come to my high school while I'm lifting after school and say, we'd like to offer you a full academic scholarship, athletic scholarship, whatever. And when I told my mom that, she just, like, kind of shrugged it off because I didn't have the physical paperwork. She didn't know what it meant. But then the way it works is, like, back then, like, Rivals will write about you, or scout.com or whatever will write about you. And then once you know, that news alert goes out that you've been offered by one team in the Atlantic 10, then the rest of the teams in the Atlantic 10 better come through with an offer, and they did. And then I got an offer from Delaware, and Casey Keeler was the head coach there, and there were two guys from my high school that were Delaware legends, Eddie Conti and John Key. So then I'm thinking, all right, I'm about to go to Newark, Delaware, and be a Blue Hen. And I go up there, and I'm supposed to work out for their camp, but I big dogged them too. I just didn't even show up with cleats or nothing. I'm like, you already offered me. Why do I got to work out? And they were fine with that. Then here comes New Hampshire. And guess who's the head coach at New Hampshire? Chip Kelly, calling on my mom's landline to recruit me to offer me a scholarship. So now I've got Hofstra, I've got Delaware, New Hampshire. I get a Northeastern offer. No way in hell was I going to Northeastern. That's the only time I've ever been to Boston when James Madison University played Northeastern. That's the only time I've seen Fenway with my eyes. But I wasn't going to go to school there. They ended up getting rid of their program. Hofstra ended up getting rid of their football program, so I'm glad I didn't go there. But I could go on and on with those college football stories. It's just crazy to think back, like, and how long ago that was and how different the times were. And as a kid, you know, my mom is sending me off. And God bless her, she came to visit me. My mom sent me to college with $700. $700 and good luck. And I don't know, I figured it out. I made a way out. But yeah, shout out to Chris for that call. Hofstra, I wanted to go there, didn't end up going there. And Mattawan, last part of my, you know, turning back the clock to football. I was the ball boy for my high school when I was 12, and that was the last time that they won the state championship. I was 11 or 12. I think it was like fifth or sixth grade. And one of the best high school football games I was on the field for was Ocean versus Mattawan. And we beat them early in the season, and they were one of the top teams in the shore. And that's when it started buzzing. They're like, you know, Ocean can win the chip. They can win the group. And then we ended up doing it. We ended up losing one game to, I forget who it was that year. I think it might have been Middletown South. But then winning the whole thing. So, like, as ball boy, I get to come with the team on the bus, be in the locker room. So, like, I got that experience as a sixth grader. And I remember back then, in sixth grade, same time my mom was telling me, I can't afford for you to go to college. I'm telling her, like, I'm going to try and play football, but these guys got beards. These guys got hair on their chest. They got muscles. These guys, they're tall. They're like men. And I'm only, you know, I'll be, you know, sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, I'll be in the high school. Like, I'm not that far away. I got to mature. I got to get bigger, faster, stronger, hit puberty, something, or I'm not going to be able to play. Fast forward, my senior year, we win the state championship. I have like 10, 15 scholarships. I go to James Madison University, and the rest is history. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to talking about the Yankees like we were. Talking about, I don't know, Juan Soto and this current team and Judge and everything else in between. Bob is in Jersey City. Bob, you're on the Fan.
How are you, sir? I'm glad to talk to you. I think the Yankees are going to win it. I don't, you know, I'm a diehard Yankee fan. Unfortunately, I can't afford to go to the games because I only make $600 a month. So whatever that means. But I was hoping that guy called back and offered tickets or something, but that's beside the point. Now, let me ask you one. Did you put the Bob Almighty Quinn in the Daily News at one time?
Did I read about Mighty Quinn in the Daily News? I'm turning you up.
He had an article in the Daily News.
No, I'm not familiar.
He used to pick all sports. No? Now, you also went to Penn State and you finished, what, third, last? Remember you said you went to Penn State in the track thing. That's what I'm talking about.
No,
remember
sir.
The
not,
track
no,
you
I
said
didn't.
You ran?
No, I didn't. I didn't go to Penn State. I did go to Happy Valley for the Nike Combine, but I didn't go to school there.
No, I mean you went to the Penn State to run.
Yeah, I went to the Penn State Nike Combine. I ran a 4.56 40 there. That's documented, yes, sir. I'm not sure about Mighty Quinn in the Daily News.
Oh, that I put 200 people from North Bergen, Jersey City, all over in the paper because I knew Mighty Quinn. But other than that, I think the Yankees are going to win. I'll be honest with you. I can't afford to go to the game because I only make $600 a month, and it, you know, it costs too much money to go to the Yankee game.
Copy, heard but you, yep. Yeah, so I think they're going to win, too. Thanks for the call, Bob. I don't know. I don't know, bro. Manny's not even here anymore. Whew. All right. yeah, I do think the Yankees have a good chance to win it this year. I can relate to not having enough bread to go to the games, but what I tell you is where there's a will, there's a way. If you really want to get to those Yankee games, you'll figure it out. I figured out how to get to a lot of Yankee games with two $20 bills with zero. There are free tickets, there are groups, there's giveaways. John and Masbeth call back and offer up some tickets. We do a giveaway on BT and Sal's show to get you there. I think the Yankees as a first-place team, the Yankees with these two ridiculous players batting second and third, playing and right in center field, like you can't count them out. They have a good of a shot as anybody, if the reigning AL Cy Young award winner is pitching like he did tonight. I know they're playing a bunch of kids from Detroit. That a lot of kids are making their debut tonight, but baseball's crazy like that. And like I said, I put most of the faith in not even the Yankees, just in the fact that the postseason's unpredictable, baseball's unpredictable, and there's no clear-cut one dominant team in the American League. And it seems like every year in the National League, it's up for grabs. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Joe in Westchester on the fan. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Keith. How you doing?
Good. It's getting late. I'm just trying to make sure we're all on the same page and everything's coming through clear and we're having some conversations still.
Yeah, very interesting to listen to. I like to listen to your show. You get an interesting group of callers. Hey, listen, I was 10 years old when the Mantle Maris stuff was going on in 61, and big Mickey Mantle fan, and I liked Roger Maris a lot too. He was a class act, but my father used to take us, and we'd go to Sunday doubleheaders, sit in right field in the reserve seats, the first row behind the bleacher seats, and he'd tell us all the time what dopes those guys were in front of us, how much more they spent for their seats and compared to what we spent for ours. And then on the way out, we'd be going up, and the guys would be hanging out of the jail screaming to us, my father, myself, and my two sisters, is, hey, Mantle hit any home runs today? And I'd be talking to him, yelling up there, and my father, like, smacked me on the back of the head, said, get in the car. Don't talk to those guys. Anyway, I just wanted to tell you a little bit of what your future is going to be like. I had Mickey Mantle, and now I got Aaron Judge. You got Aaron Judge, and you're going to have somebody else because you're a young dude. But when Mickey retired in 68, I couldn't watch the Yankees because it was like a giant hole in my heart watching the game because number seven wasn't going to come to the plate. I mean, even though his last few years he was just a ghost of what he once was, they had him out there because they couldn't let him go. He was a draw. All of baseball. People wanted to see him.
I cried when Jeter got that hit his last game.
I was there. I was sitting right behind home plate watching it from the mezzanine. Yeah, it was a great game.
I was stuck in the MLB fan cave. I had to watch it from the fan cave.
But I'll tell you something. When Aaron Judge finishes his career, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. When he doesn't come up to the plate during the course of the game and he's done, there's a hole in your soul.
Yeah. And what I'm hoping is that my 16-month-old son gets to, like, be into baseball by the time he's 5, 6, 7 and, you know, fall in love with Judge and see the end of his career.
Well, I got 8 grandchildren, and I've got one who's 7 years old, a boy named Luca, and he watches Yankee games with me whenever we're together, and he just loves watching Judge and Soto hit home runs, and that's the highlight of my life these days, sitting there watching games with him.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you'll have many happy years ahead with your son, just teach him to be a good Yankee fan.
Already on it. Thanks for the call, Joe. Yeah, you know, theater of the mind. I'm laughing, you know, because I know exactly where the, you know, the jail, the courthouse is, all that. That's why I always tell you heads, don't go to Yankee Stadium thinking you're going to get away with anything, treating people any type of way, throwing punches, fighting, pushing people. And be aware, there's helicopters. And if you play stupid on a Friday, Saturday, you're going to be in jail for the weekend. Some people want to be tough in Yankee Stadium. This is not a place to be tough. You should be the opposite. You should be quiet as far as somebody trying to get into a physical altercation. Don't jump on the field either. I don't know how many times I've been in Yankee Stadium and somebody wants to run on the field. This doesn't make any sense. Why would you do that? Well, there's no reason. Dave out in Brooklyn on the fan. Hello, Dave.
Hello, Keith. How are you, man?
You know, getting there on a Friday into Saturday morning.
I love it. I love it. I want to talk about the radio for a little bit. You know, obviously John Sterling has left a big hole in all of our Yankee fan hearts, but we've had some auditions of late, and I just want to give you my personal opinion and see what you think.
Okay.
You know, I think, you know, obviously Ricky Ricardo, there's just something so electric about his energy and his enthusiasm. And, you know, his experience and the time that he's put in and his rapport with Susan, I think that's huge. I think, you know, somebody who can relate with Susan is a big factor. But I think he's my front runner, although then who's going to do the Spanish language games? You know, that's kind of a conflict. Mm-hmm. I think behind him, I've got Shackle, because I think Shackle is he's got that energy, but he's also got a lot of life experience where he can talk to Susan and he gets the references and he can do the pop culture. And
yeah,
you know, Emmanuel is doing a good job too. He's a young guy. But what do you think? What do you think?
Well, I know all of them. I know all of them personally. I consider all of them friends. And I mean, well, Ricky, it's not really any contest with Ricky, because what people got to realize is he's been calling games in Espanol. You might not have listened to the Spanish broadcast, but he's done this hundreds of times. He's a master at the craft. His natural voice. He's got the God-given tone in his voice.
You're right. And you know, it's funny you say that, Keith, because I always say this about Michael Kay. There's something about, you know, the smoothness. You know, we've got all these guys with smooth voices out there in broadcast land, but that's not what you want in that heat of the moment. You want somebody like Michael Kay, who's got like kind of a shrill, hoarse, oh, what a shot! You know, that's what gets my blood flowing. I don't need some guy, oh, and there's a home run. You know, it's just
got to be unique, and it's got to be delivered. Yeah. You know, delivering the game in a certain tone. That's why I said tone. It's just like a tone of you know, delivering certain moments and inflection in your voice.
Yep.
And Ricky Ricardo has that. Like, Emmanuel Barbari just turned 25 last week.
Which blows my mind, man. The fact that he's even able to do this at all, that's incredible.
Like, think about that. He turned 25 last week, and he just called Aaron Judge's 300th home run.
Yeah.
Like, E-Man is a kid.
Wild.
Like, E-Man is not, like, and I'm like, I love that kid, because I'm like, bro, you're going to be in the industry for another 30 years. Like, you just got out of Fordham. You just got out of college. And because of his work ethic and how he treats people and what he's been able to do, he's produced shows for me. He's hosted shows. He grinds, and he got that opportunity. Shackle was on the broadcast tonight from the Mothership in Connecticut. The Yes Network original headquarters, they call the Mothership. Shackle was up there. Shackle was up there on TV. So Shackle does the TV and the radio. And like you said about Shackle, Shackle is 35. Shackle is my age. We're the same year. I've known Shackle for years because my boy Brian Clark went to high school with me, went to Fordham with Shackle. They graduated the same year. So I would run into them at Yankee Stadium years ago, like 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Wow, no kidding. I remember Shackle just from the on-field pregame.
Yankees on demand or something like that. Like
he'd show up on the big screen.
Him and Brian
Clark. And remind you what happened like earlier in that series or whatever. And
Brian Clark is still doing that. And Shackle, yes, he knows history of baseball. He has life experience. Big credit to his family and his upbringing. He knows the pop culture stuff. He has a good rapport with Susan. Nobody mentions Brendan Burke anymore. He did some games, the Islanders.
That's true.
Yeah. Nobody ever gives him a, you know, pat on the back or a suggestion. I feel like I'll bring his name in. And then last but not least here, you have Craig Carton, who Craig seems to think he's got a foot in the game for the postseason. And I'm like, I don't know about that, Craigie, but hey, I'm not going to knock the hustle. I'm not going to knock you trying to speak it into existence. It's just hard to replace a John Sterling. John Sterling was the voice of the Yankees for so many of us. And this year for him to call it quits, it's kind of in flux. It's up in the air. But at least we have a rotation of guys that are pretty solid. I don't know. To each his own. Yeah. It's subjective. It's opinion. And, you know, I know the Yankees have their own opinion. I think the Yankees clearly are still searching themselves.
Yeah. I mean, I think Susan being willing to be the kind of bridge to connect, you know, whoever comes next is huge because she is such an institution also. So
I had the thought the other day, I don't know, and I'm not rushing Susan out. Susan is great. You obviously know she's an encyclopedia of baseball. But how great would it be if there's a young lady waiting in the wings that could potentially replace Susan? Where you keep that dynamic of a woman in that chair on the Yankee broadcast.
I agree. I just think there's something about and I don't know. I think it's something about the bridge to the past, you know, like her being able to tell firsthand stories about the 09 team, the 90s teams. I mean, eventually, obviously, you know, in the not too distant future, it's going to come to a point where, you know, we got to get some young blood in there. But I do think that just in this kind of tumultuous little bump where we're like, what do we do post Sterling? I think she's going to be important as the constant, and then she can pass the torch. And then once we get used to whoever it is, I mean, Shackle, you know, like all these guys, Ricky, and we all love them already, you know. So if they were all, you know, whoever was named to be the next permanent voice, I think we'd all get behind. And then, I don't know, a year or two later, Susan can bow out. A young lady can step in, or whoever steps in, you know, whoever's qualified, and then go from there. But I do think she's an important bridge piece. I don't know.
She is. She's very important. She signs off on everything. It's her booth right now. With John stepping out, it's her booth.
Yeah.
I know I don't get the blessing to sit in for her without her signing off on it. And, you know, I even reached out to her for some pointers, and she kind of, you know, didn't want to over, you know, load me with stuff. And we didn't even get to have that, like, what should I do? I was thrown in with, like, 10 days notice, and I think that was good because I I'd never done it before, so it didn't give me too much time to overthink it. I literally just went in and talked, and honestly, I was just like, "This is dope! Like, this is so sick!"
It was crazy because I actually heard that, you know, kind of just in happenstance, and I was like, "Is that Keith McPherson doing the call right now?" And you absolutely crushed it. So,
I know in my head about five things that I messed up or I wish I could have said differently or take back or just things I thought sounded stupid or whatever. It's just like, you know, you get caught in the moment and you make mistakes. It's live radio. But, like, I wouldn't take any of it back. It was an awesome experience. If I never get to do it again, it was fantastic. Like, I loved it. And, like, the best part of it was, like, I didn't even put two and two together about Susan star of the game. I'm Susan. I get to go on the field. I get to go into the game. Like, I'm back there dapping up Juan Soto, talking to Juan Soto.
Yeah.
I was not thinking about
that
at all.
Isn't it so funny that she gets to do that every single day and she's just like, everybody just knows her. Like,
yeah, it's okay for her to do that. It's not okay for me to do that. I'm sitting in the press area. I stopped watching Boone on the post-game press conference because he used to piss me off saying the same things. Now I'm sitting there looking at him face to face.
Yeah, you're like, actually, this isn't so bad.
I'm like, this is way different sitting in here. And, I mean, obviously, it was after two wins. Nestor shoved, and then Luis Gil broke El Duque's record after El Duque threw out the first pitch. Then I'm also hanging out with El Duque outside of the Yankees clubhouse. I'm like, man, I won. I figured it out. How am I even? This is ridiculous.
Dude, that, like, congratulations, honestly, because that is, you know, obviously you grew up a Yankee fan and you went into broadcasting and you were an athlete and, you know, to be at the point where you find yourself there, I mean, you should be proud of yourself, brother. Seriously.
Thanks for the call, Dave. Yeah, I'm proud, but there's more work to do. There's more proving to do. There's more shows to do. There's more calls to take. If you would like to join my show before the show ends in 20 minutes, dial 888-808-1019. It's Friday night into Saturday morning. We're talking about the Yankees. We're talking about the Yankees booth. We're talking about Juan Soto. We're talking about history, watching guys like Mickey Mantle play. It's a sports talk radio station in New York. That's what we're supposed to do. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan, taking a break. When we come back, I don't think I'll have any more breaks. After that, you guys will be rocking with Vincent Von Vincent, Paul's randomness. It's Paul Rosenberg on The Fan from 2 to 6. So call now before you got to listen to Paul talk about desserts or something. I'll be right back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Yo, right back at it on The Fan. Not for long. I think I have 12 minutes until we hear that back music. But, man, shout out to you wherever you are, riding in the car. Maybe you're listening on the free Odyssey app. Thank you for tuning in. Usually, I don't do these Friday night shows because by the end of the week, I'm shot. And I can't even get through these shows. But I did tonight. And I'm also still doing a Sunday show, a weekend show, which was cool because I remember having the conversations about getting me on during the weekend hours. Different audience, daylight hours, and now I'll be able to do a live show from Fanatics during the daylight in front of people. So I really look forward to seeing you guys at the Javits Center today, but also for the live show on Sunday. It's just a different dynamic, a different vibe when you have people standing there versus, you know, being in the studio alone. But it's great, man. WFAN had a great setup, has a great setup, and the WFAN listeners and callers and people that support WFAN is great because, you know, like I said, in there, there's so much competition for attention. Everything is competition for attention nowadays. People have quick attention spans. And there's so much entertainment, so many things that you could be watching or listening to. And to see how we commanded an area in the middle of that event space with a solid amount of like 50, 60 people that just stayed hovering around WFAN to listen to the sports conversation, to see, you know, what guests were going to join. And it was cool to see. I definitely underestimated it coming in, what the whole thing was going to look like and be. And I can't wait to go to sleep. Hopefully I do get some sleep tonight and then go back there today for a little while and then go home and go to sleep and get definitely some good sleep Saturday night and show up to rock and roll for my show Sunday. So that's all I got to say. Let me take my last three calls and then I'll get out of the way. Paul will come in and he'll rock and then the sun will come up. Let's go to Justin in Brooklyn. Thanks for holding, Justin. You're on The Fan.
Oh, that was quick. Well, hey, Keith. How's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing great, thank you. Man, the Yankees are hot right now. Gooey.
Yeah, they better be. They better be against these teams. Like, you know, I know it's baseball and anybody can line up and beat anybody, but the Chicago White Sox are historically bad. And I'm watching that game tonight and I'm like, who are these kids? And they're all making their debuts. They're all getting the welcome to the show, welcome to the big league. So the Yankees better not lose to a bunch of rookies.
Yeah, I mean, the Tigers, too. I mean, it's the exact same thing, but, you know. And you know what's funny? We also had a call maybe a few blocks away from me, so I am also in Brooklyn, so
yeah, that helps. Yeah, we had a few callers from Brooklyn in a row. The next caller is actually from Brooklyn as well.
Yeah, small world after all, right? By the way, about that Phillies game,
you went, right?
That jersey that I wore was great luck. So I'm very happy that I wore that jersey.
Man, I wanted to try to get to that Wednesday game. I was even thinking about hitting up Spike because now, you know, Spike is Big Show Bob. Spike is Afternoon Drive down there at WIP, and they're everywhere. They have the connect to get into Citizens Bank Park. So I was going to hit up Spike to be like, hey, I'm coming down for that game, but it just was too much with me having the show that night. And I also thought about it. The Yankees kind of were limping into that series. Or no, they weren't. The Yankees went to Boston, and they rallied in Boston to win that series. And then I was thinking about going and didn't go. But I know a lot of people from Jersey went. A lot of people from New York made the trip, and that was a good series to go see the Yankees sweep the Phillies in Citizens Bank Park. I'm glad you went. I'm glad you saw it.
Yeah, I do too. And by the way, I am going to go to the Colorado series just for two. I'm looking forward to the John and Susan t-shirt night.
Yeah, that's in the Cleveland series.
I wanted to see John again. And every time I listen to the games on the radio while I was at work, I kind of miss John.
Of course, of course.
Almost every time that Juan Soto hit a home run, I always say, there is a Soto photo, like he always says. And
at least we got the John Sterling call for Juan Soto. I would love to hear his call for Jazz Chisholm.
Me too. Maybe we'll ask if he is he going to show up to the one of the games for the giveaway.
I don't know. I heard a rumor he was going to show up to Fanatics Fest. I heard a rumor that he might show up for the t-shirt giveaway. But, I mean, I just think people are trying to leave him alone. And that's the thing. Like, he's retired. Leave him alone. But people, you know, are asking him to pop out, and he has popped out a little bit. So, I don't know, man. I love John. I definitely watch the games, and I'm like, you know, sometimes I'm like, this is why John, like, I made the joke the other night after they lost to the White Sox 12-2. I'm like, this is why John retired. John didn't want to have to sit through this. Thanks for the call, Justin.
Yeah, thank you, Keith. Enjoy your night. Hopefully I'll see you during the Colorado series.
Yeah, I'll be in Atlanta. I'll be in Atlanta Friday through Sunday, so I'm going to miss that series. But I'll be at the two Cleveland games, I think, Tuesday and Wednesday.
Oh, okay. I hope you get that ring, though. I don't want to miss it.
I know. My boy Zeke was texting me, like, yo, you don't want to get that 2009 replica ring? I'm like, I'm not going to be here. Thanks for the call, Justin. I'm like, somebody will get one for me. That was another thing, too. We were having a whole little powwow. One of the creatures showed up, too. Well, I saw a couple Bleacher Creatures at FanFest. I know more coming, too. Y'all, the creatures better show up Sunday, too, when I'm live. But, you know, we were talking about, you know, Willie Randolph bobblehead night. I missed that because I was at David Cohn's event. And then Anthony Volpe Gold Glove bobblehead. I missed that because I had to go to like a play date with like other babies and my son. But people look me out. They're like, yo, we got bobbleheads for you. We got bobbleheads for you. I'm like, now? I'm like, I've always had a system for when I couldn't get to games to get somebody to get a bobblehead for me. Like, I'll send somebody a ticket or two and be like, yo, get me a bobblehead. But I'm like, now that I'm on the radio talking about these bobbleheads, people actually get the bobbleheads for me preemptively. If they get an extra one, they're like, yo, I'm holding this for Keith. John is in Brooklyn. I said the next caller was also in Brooklyn. John, you're on the Fan.
Yo, what up? So real quick, I'm going to talk a little bit of state of the Yankees right now, like say playoffs started right now. Mm-hmm. But just real quick, that guy that said that he's too poor to go to a Yankee game, I'm going to be there on Wednesday. If you guys want to give him my number, if he wants to call back in, I'll buy him a ticket, a beer, and a hot dog, no problem. If he wants to head there, I'll be with my girlfriend and my daughter. He can come. And I buy him a ticket.
Awesome.
Anyway, I want to talk about, like, so, like, the Yankees, like, for me, they playing right now. And even though when they slumping, they still feel like they're resilient. And now the pitching, I feel like, is where Boone's going to have a lot of work to do when it comes to making a playoff thing happen. But in terms of a lineup, I feel like everybody in that lineup is ready to go. And it's like, you know, Volpe with his peaks and valleys, put him down low and let him have his fun. Wells is being the guy that we thought he could be, and maybe even better than we thought he could be. So you got to keep playing him and let him see what he can really do, right? Stanton, let Stanton get going. You know, Jason Dominguez just had a three-hit night. He looks like he's about ready to get going. Like, Peraza just smashed a home run. I mean, who knows? Like, Cabrera, this guy, Cabrera wants a spot in that lineup so bad, you can tell he's putting everything every night. I mean, I think this Yankee team wants to play just as much as anybody else out there wants to play. But I'll tell you right now, a lot of teams out there are telling themselves, I don't want to see the Yankees in the playoffs. I'm telling you.
Sure. Every year. Thanks for the call, John. I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to let Manny take your number. So the caller that called in and says that he can't afford to go to the game, if you want to set this up, if you call back in, we'll have the number for you to dial, for you to get that set up for you to see a game and get a beer and a hot dog or whatnot. More random acts of kindness right here on KM the 2 AM. But I got to stop some of y'all. I just got to put a little dose of reality out there. Again, they played against a bunch of rookies, young guys, just breaking into the league with the Tigers. And the Tigers are a fourth place team. Also, we're talking about how the lineup is rolling. Did you not watch the White Sox series? The worst team in baseball. The Juan Soto was rolling. Right? The first night, they went 2-for-18 with runners in scoring position. Jazz gets hurt. Juan Soto puts the team on his back, but really nobody else in the second game. And then in the third game, they poured it on late. But like even when we're looking at tonight, they had 5 hits tonight. It wasn't like they dominated tonight. So I know everybody's always in a rush to say the Yankees are back. Oh, the urge to say the Yankees are back. We're winning the World Series. But like, this is just what they're supposed to be doing. They're supposed to handle the White Sox. They're supposed to handle the young Detroit Tigers that are trying guys out like Trey Sweeney, a guy that we drafted a couple years back. Jace Young, who's breaking into the league. They have a bunch of young guys. Let's see what they do against the Guardians. That's the next like real test. And let's see if they sweep the Tigers or take the series from the Tigers. Like, let's see what they look like on Sunday Night Baseball live from Williamsport, Pennsylvania, where I used to go to baseball camp, against Tarek Skubal. Last call of the night goes to Bill in Montclair. Take us home, Bill. You got it.
Yeah, I have an awful lot to say, and we don't have the time. I give you my number. Let me just say I'm 83 years old, but I'm in great shape. I run a couple of miles, good swimmer. I started following every sport, and I can give you all the 6 original goalies. I saw Jackie Robinson. I was at the 55 World Series. I can give you the starting lineup, et cetera. What is interesting is all the, I remember first games. Yeah, you know Vinny Scully?
I do. Thanks for the call, Bill. I'm sorry. Call me any other time. I don't have any more time. Paul is coming up next. Paul Randomness, Vincent Paul Rosenberg. You know him. He's a wizard, the glue guy here at The Fan. He's hosting until 6 a.m. Call his show up. I'm out of here. See you at the Javits Center. Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.